Coming out of the closet is a loaded term, but maybe not in the way that you think. If you want examples of this practice from popular culture, you will find no shortage of how it's supposed to be.
Dad, I'm gay.
I know.
Really?
I've known since you were three.
Just like that, a nervous young person comes to terms with their own sexuality and takes a brave step by announcing to the world that they're gay, usually beginning with their immediate family, to be initially received with shock, but eventually heartwarming acceptance. And that's nice, and it should be like that, but it's not like that for everyone. And the definition of what the closet even is changes by the day. Can you be out to some people and not others? In the past, queer people would face judgment when they came out of the closet, but what happens when you face judgment for remaining inside it? Are there relationships in people's lives that are worth preserving as they are, if changing them would end badly? Even if that means that a part of who you are will never be visible to your loved ones. What is the closet in 2019? I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story. Erica Lenti is a writer whose work appears in The Local, The Globe and Mail, and in an essay we're going to talk about today for The Walrus. Erica, what is the definition of the closet these days?
I think it all depends on the person you're asking. We've traditionally understood the closet as a place where someone who is hiding their identity completely, mm-hmm. whether it's lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, queer, any part of the spectrum, you know, keeping their identity from others, perhaps they're even keeping their identity from themselves in a certain extent. But I think that definition has really changed quite a bit. The closet is really more of a social construct that we have built, and understanding what it means to be closeted to an individual person might be one thing for one person, something for another person. So it's very complex.
To people who aren't in the community who are straight and who think about this, but not as deeply, obviously, I wonder if it can seem like a binary thing at times, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody is either in the closet or they're out.
And it's interesting that you say that. I mean, I think that for a long time, and still to a certain extent, you know, cisgender, straight folks, people who are not part of these communities have always thought of sexuality as a binary thing. Either
right.
You're straight or gay, you're a cisgender or you're trans, and so on and so forth. And really, it's only been in like the last decade, I would say, that there's really been a lot more visibility and representation for the fact that things aren't so black and white in terms of identities.
And so you are not in the closet?
No.
Except?
For my grandmother.
Tell me that story.
So my grandmother, she's an older Italian lady. I grew up with her in a very like Ray Romano-esque, like she lived across the street from my parents. And so she was just constantly there. She means a lot to me and we have a very close relationship. But she doesn't know that I'm gay. She doesn't know that my partner is my partner. She just thinks that she's some girl who just hangs around a lot and she's like my roommate or something. And I've pretty much come to the conclusion that I will get married and I will have to tell her that I am gay or she will die before that happens. She's a very traditional person. She immigrated to Canada with all of her siblings. She is the oldest of 10 and she has always understood relationships as, you know, women are the people who care for their husbands and husbands are breadwinners and you get married in the Catholic Church and love is based in this heteronormative idea and you get married to have children and so on and so forth. And so that doesn't really fit into, you know, the life that I'm leading. And in order to maintain the relationship that I have with her, which is very special and important to me, I've opted to keep that from her.
Do you remember realizing or admitting to yourself that your grandmother was homophobic and what impact that had on you?
I think that it was a realization that came over time. I thought about it from the moment I realized I was gay as a teenager. Mm-hmm. It took me up until maybe the last year to get to the point to realize that she is homophobic and would not accept who I am. It sucks. I mean, this is someone I love very dearly, and this is someone who has been part of my life from the moment I was born. And like I said, we lived across the street from one another for a very long time. The thought that she wouldn't accept this part of me that I view as a really big and important part of me, it's really shaped who I've become, is really difficult. But I need to also remember that she is from a different generation and that she was raised in a different time and place and that her values have been shaped by the time and place that she was born and lived and is very different from my experience. So it's hard, but I think I can find a sense of empathy for her in that I understand why she is the way she is. It's not the way that I would want her to be in my life, but I can at least understand where it comes from.
And it seemed like when you wrote your essay in The Walrus about that, it was not a unique thing among people who are mostly out of the closet and very proud and have no regrets about that, except for there are places in their life.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it was something that I didn't really consider too much until I started talking to friends in the queer communities and trans communities who would absolutely balk at the idea that they are closeted because they, like you said, are very proud of their identities. They would never, you know, hide it from, say, other friends or coworkers in some cases, but they are closeted to a certain extent. It was frequently with family. So we would see a lot of folks who are, you know, open in their everyday lives, but then when it comes to their mom and dad, have decided to kind of keep that part of them to themselves. I spoke to one woman who is in a relationship with a man, and she has just decided that she's not going to talk about her queer identity with her dad because it would just complicate matters and it would change the dynamic of their relationship. I spoke to another person who is non-binary, which means that they don't really identify within the confines of male or female. Mm-hmm. And they've decided to keep that part of their identity to themselves from their parents, mainly because they came out as pansexual, someone who is attracted to people of all genders. It didn't go over as smoothly, and they've decided that perhaps talking about identities that are outside of cisgender norms is a little bit too much for their parents. And they want to maintain those relationships. And I don't fault anybody for wanting to stay close with a family member or a friend or a colleague because of this one part of their identity that is certainly not all-encompassing in any way. But that relationship is just so important that they don't want to lose it because of this one thing.
There used to be a ton of all-consuming societal pressure for gay and queer and trans people to stay in the closet. And thankfully, that's changed a lot. What I got from your article is that there can be pressure now in the other direction. Like, we've made all this progress. Why won't you come out? You need to have a good reason to stay in the closet.
Yeah, and I think it requires a lot more nuance than it gets. Certainly, there are folks who are in queer communities who perhaps have not faced the same kind of stigma from family members or colleagues or any sort of relationship that they have in their lives, in which they feel that they can be completely open and they can tell the whole world. And that's not the case for everybody,
right.
And it never has been the case for everyone. I spoke with one good friend of mine. Her family is from Iran, and a lot of her friends are from the Middle East and South Asia. And for them, you know, it's never been an option really to come out to their parents because in some cases affect their safety, but in others just completely change the relationship. And so the idea of being in the closet, she says, is sort of like this Western idea that, you know, white people come out to their families and to all of their friends.
And have a party and everybody loves each other.
Exactly. And that's not a reality for everybody. Mm-hmm. And so the idea that she sort of raised to me that was really interesting was like, none of my friends see themselves as closeted and they would be really angry if you said that they were closeted people. But they're not out to certain people in their lives. In order to understand that, perhaps we don't need to shift our views of them, but rather the views of the closet and how we see what closeted means, what that term connotates. And I think that's like a really, really interesting thing to consider, particularly from me who is white and gay and has a lot of privilege in that sense.
In that sense that you just mentioned being white and gay and privileged, what is the connotation of being in the closet or the closet in general?
I think it's sort of that stereotypical understanding that you go through sort of period in which you're questioning your identity and then you realize who you are. You tell your mom and dad in this emotional sort of moment that TV shows have depicted. And like maybe there's a period of like misunderstanding or anger or upset. And then that turns into like, but I still love you and I accept you. And then there's like clip of the mom and dad with a little rainbow flag at Pride. And I think that's been my understanding from youth into like adulthood as a gay woman. I mean, it did take me a very long time to come out to other family members because I was worried I wouldn't get that sort of rainbow flag touting, you know, reaction from my dad, for instance.
Right.
And I've always sort of held a bit of shame for not coming out to my grandmother because of that, that I am in some way not enough of a gay person or that I have not done enough of my role.
That was my next question is, do you feel pressured to push the notion of acceptance onto her and to point out to her that your granddaughter, whom you love, can be gay and that's okay. And you should be the person tasked, so to speak, with showing her that.
Yeah, and I have definitely felt that pressure, and only, I would say, within maybe the last year, it's been like a process of getting to the point where I say, she's probably not going to know. If she does find out, will she attend my wedding? Probably not. And I've had to become okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
It brings up an interesting point, though, the idea of tasking people in these communities to do the heavy lifting and the emotional labor to get people onto the same page as you.
Yeah, it's your job to make your grandma less homophobic.
Yeah, and we need to stop putting that pressure on folks. I mean, marginalized communities already have a lot of pressure on them to do a lot of educating in society, in their workplaces, and so on and so forth. And we can't be expected as well to do the emotional lifting for our family members, particularly like in my case where we've got a woman in her 80s and she's lived her whole life believing one thing. I think it would be really, really draining and exhausting and emotionally difficult on me to try to get her to this point of acceptance. That probably wouldn't happen, I think. It's really difficult. We need to stop putting that pressure on folks.
How do we navigate to, because this is an interesting point, because there's a large generation of people roughly your grandmother's age who lived a completely different life than we have. And now is kind of a fulcrum of that intergenerational change where they're entering their 80s and they're really old and they might not have long with us. And do we push them before they pass to realize that the world has changed? Or do we kind of say, we love you and we'll let you live in this world that you've lived in your whole life before you go?
Mm-hmm. I think it really depends, right? You know, my other grandmother, who just passed away in October, grew up in Holocaust Germany, Nazi Germany. And she was, you know, surrounded by all of this ideology. But she was the kind of person that, as she got older, became more accepting and realized what was going on in her life that was once not acceptable. Society has just completely changed. And she was very accepting. In the case of my grandmother on my dad's side, who the essay is about, I don't know that I could get her to that point. I think it's really a case-by-case basis. And I think that we should continue to, of course, to push for more acceptance. But I think there are cases, like with my grandmother, where it's just there's not much else I feel I can do. I don't think I can do the emotional lifting. I don't think I can tackle that. And I don't know who could tackle that, frankly. So I think it's really like a case-by-case basis of, is this person someone who is willing to change their minds about things they've known all their lives? And if they are, then that would be great. And if they're not, I don't really know what we do.
How does your partner feel about being the good friend at family gatherings? And have you ever had that discussion about, look, should we just come out? I'd rather just not.
Yeah, we've had lots of conversations about that. And we'd had lots of conversations as this essay evolved.
Mm-hmm.
I think it does bother her to a certain extent, just like it would bother anyone who is stuck tagging along and feels like they're not being truthful about who they are. And it's especially been difficult. You know, I've got two male cousins, first cousins, and I've got a brother, and all of them have partners, and they all bring their partners to family gatherings.
Right.
And you've got family members, you know, joking around, when are you guys going to get engaged? And, you know, oh, you guys are going on vacation together. That's so nice. That's so romantic. And then you've just got my partner sitting there. And like, I mentioned this in the essay about, you know, we've got this really lovely apartment in Toronto. You know, we have a little puppy together and we've built this like amazing life that I'm so proud of. And I know she's so proud of. And it does sting to go into these family gatherings knowing that like everyone is just sort of keeping this mum and we're not talking about it because we don't want to upset grandma. Like, it's really difficult to navigate. But I think there has come a mutual understanding that we understand sort of the role we play in that setting. And it sucks. I won't say that it doesn't. But it's what works right now, and it's what helps us maintain those relationships the way that we can.
What can we change in the way we discuss coming out stories or being out and proud to help add more nuance to the sort of binary she's in the closet or she's not discussion.
Yeah, I think viewing coming out as not some sort of monolithic experience that every one person has in the same way. We talked earlier about these representations that we see in movies and TV and stuff like that.
And it's the part of gay culture that's been lionized. Like, yeah, it really is.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see more representation in media and things like that, you know, entertainment, in which people have the same experience that I do or the same experience as, like, many of the people I interviewed for this piece. It's not the same for everyone, and we need to understand that. We need to understand that how one person views the closet is completely different from how another person views the closet. If we can understand that, I think that's a great jumping-off point, and then we can move into more of those nuances and better understand what it means for queer and trans folks.
It kind of seems like it's way more complex than even having a closet, because you have sort of one person in your life that you're not out to. But there are queer, trans, gay people out there who might be not out at work, but out with their family, but not out to their partner's family, but out with their friends, yep, but maybe not their partner's friends. And, you know, it's almost like trying to keep it straight in your head where I'm allowed to be myself.
No pun intended.
Yeah, no pun intended.
Yeah, and I think that sort of speaks to the reality of queer and trans folks.
Yeah.
It's so difficult to navigate different situations because of this one part of your identity. And I think straight and cisgender folks can better understand that than we can move toward a better understanding overall. When you're chatting with your colleagues, for instance, and you're straight, for the most part, you probably don't worry about, you know, dropping, you know, your partner's name or mentioning
right,
that you did this or that with your partner over the weekend. But we often have these scenarios where we're, you know, I can say that there were workplaces where I still needed to sort of test the waters and see, like, can I drop a female name when mm-hmm. I'm talking about my partner? Will that be okay? And I don't think that a lot of folks think about that as much as we do. And on that point, I mean, it's important to note that coming out is not this one singular moment. I am still coming out every day. You know, I just started in a new workplace, and that meant coming out to all the folks there. And every time
You don't announce it now, right?
No.
You don't come out and say, hey, I'm here, guess what? You say, what'd you do yesterday? Oh, was it with my girlfriend?
Exactly. And I think that it's important to remember that pretty much every queer and trans person I know does this on a regular basis. And there is always a bit of fear in the back of your mind that's like, what if this person doesn't accept this? Or what if this person freaks out? Or at work, what if this person, I don't know, decides to treat me differently? If they're in a position of power, will this affect me? And these are legitimate fears that a lot of people, most queer and trans folks, go through. So remembering that coming out is not this like one moment, everyone cries and there's a party, is so important. It's an ongoing process every day.
Do you feel like you get judged in the other direction in the queer community? Not you specifically, because we've talked about that, but that there is pressure to be out of the closet. There is pressure to say your partner's name rather than my partner.
Certainly, I think that there are some folks who think that the way towards equality and acceptance for LGBTQ folks is being very visible and providing representation.
Mm-hmm.
I think that for those folks, they also need to start thinking about these nuances and how different these scenarios can be for many people. I think that there are a lot of really great, you know, allies and supportive folks within the community as well who understand that for some people it's a matter of safety or a matter of comfort or a matter of maintaining a relationship that folks stay in the closet. But for those who don't, I think it requires a lot more understanding and it requires a lot more chatting with people who are in these scenarios to
right.
understand.
Well, you mentioned like reasons for people staying in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
Are there good and bad reasons for staying in the closet? Because it feels like that's a judgment that gets made.
Yeah, absolutely not. I mean,
yeah, no, I know.
There
but
are like,
but is it seen that way?
Perhaps. I think some people might be more understanding if someone is in the closet with their family members, for instance, if they believe that the family member will cut them off financially or if they'll lose a home or if
right.
there will be some sort of violence against them. And people see those as, you know, quote unquote, legitimate. I think we need to stop separating what's legitimate from what's not legitimate in these cases, because they're all legitimate reasons. Yeah. I don't think that we should say maintaining a relationship with your grandmother is any less legitimate than, you know, worrying about where you'll live if you come out. My relationship with my grandmother, for instance, is really important to me. It's my tie to my Italian culture. She is the oldest living relative on my Italian side that is, you know, in my life. And losing her would mean losing a lot of that, you know, the culture, the ties to the traditions. Yeah, I wouldn't get to go make tomato sauce with her every summer. I wouldn't get to visit her, you know, for Christmas and have seafood on Christmas Eve. And those are such important things in my life. I think that's a legitimate reason to not come out to her. And I think we need to view it that way.
Thanks, Erica.
Thanks so much.
Erica Lenti, a writer for The Walrus, as well as The Globe and Mail, Toronto Life, Pivot, The Local, lots of places. For more from us, you can find us at thebigstorypodcast.ca and at frequencypodcastnetwork.com. We are always on Twitter at TheBigStoryFPN and at Frequency Pods. And of course, we are at Frequency Pods on Facebook as well. And we're wherever you get your podcasts, on Apple, on Google, on Stitcher, on Spotify. If this was back in the day, we'd be on Winamp. Thanks for listening. I'm Jordan Heath-Rawlings. We'll talk tomorrow.